Well, if I can start by just throwing out a question at you, all right? If you could be anybody else in the whole wide world, who would you be? Why, I'd be Farrah Fawcett. That hair, I'm telling you right now. That you still call it Northers when the wind blows in like last night? That messed up my hair. My hair wouldn't be right today still after all that wind. I don't know how you cope with that. Say, well, I'd be Robert Redford, I guess. Some of you are leaning over to your spouse. How old is this guy? His cultural references are way back there somewhere. When was he born? Is his son getting married for the second time as a widower and he's an old man? What's going on? But no, it's great to be here. But think about that. Who would you be if you'd be somebody else? Some people say, well, I'd love to be Pastor Riggs, man. Then I'd preach to them other people at church. I'd set them straight. I'd tell them what they need to hear. And some of you say, I'd love to be Miss Christie, you know. And I love the pastor's wife. I think the mature people of the church love and appreciate her. The immature people, they battle a little being jealous, but God grows them out of that. And they grow to love you and everything, you know. And all that talent playing the piano and that singing group. As they were singing tonight, I thought, Christy and the Texans, Lady Texans, are going on the road, man. They're that good. And y'all might need to get some of these ushers to start to sing for you. And then when the men came down to usher and they were standing there, I thought, man, those men just look so good standing up front here. Maybe I'll call them up here when I preach. It's just like, you're going to come at me. You got to go through them first. They look strong and good there serving the Lord. And I think about the deacons of the church and, you know, all the men ought to strive to be one of the deacons of the church. If you're a deacon, wave at me tonight. Just raise your hand up. Don't be shy, guys. No, nobody's coming for you, I promise. And we're not going to be hard on you. But thank the Lord for you. It's a blessing when men of God step up to serve the Lord a little bit and do that. And I know you look at the Matthews family, you go, well, I wish I was like them and all the things that they do. And I think about poor Brother Scott Matthews. He hears so much preaching that only bums who live in the mission hear more preaching than you, man. And so I don't know if you're starting to turn into one of the soup kitchen guys or if you're really turning into something else. But, you know, you hear so much preaching all the time. You probably wonder where the sermon's even going tonight. There's so many sermons he's got in his mind. And I think about the beautiful Town East Christian School. And are most of you students in the school over here? Wave at me if you're a student in the school over there. God bless you guys. Great to have you. And some over here, some over there. Give the school students a hand for being in the house tonight. We love and thank the Lord for you. We're glad you're here. I've been watching you. You listen so good on Sunday, and you've been paying such good attention to service tonight. I'm impressed. You guys are at the top of your generation, and you're going to do great things with your life, and we're glad you're here tonight. Thanks for being in the house. Really, we're glad you're here. And you know, the students wouldn't be where they were without the teachers. And so, if you're one of the Town East teachers, just hold up your hand, wave at me. All the teachers over there, we got our principal here. God bless you, man. And give them a hand tonight. God bless you. Those of you. I served for many years as a principal over schools and managed them in different ways and things. School teaching is hard work. There's a lot of work involved for the teachers. And so you see a teacher sometime and they're dragging a little bit. You just pray for them, lift them up because they work pretty hard. And the job is hard enough, much less the kids working them over and all that stuff. So pray for them and encourage them. And what a blessing to have the principal here tonight. God bless you. And his lovely wife right next to him. You just had surgery. And here you are sitting in church, even though you had surgery. And I you know, if I could be somebody else, I'd be you. You're tougher than tough. I'm telling you right now. I heard about one guy. He called me. He said, preacher, I think a gnat bit me. I'm going to go apply for disability now. I can't go back to work anymore. And here you are in church after having surgery. And so you're either a very strong person or you got a lot of those Norcos and you could share a few with me after the service. I'm just kidding about that, but we're glad you're here. But you know, who could you be if you could be somebody else? If you could pick another persona, a different person. And a lot of people say, well, my brother's had a better life than me. He got rich and I stayed poor. I wish I was like my uncle's kids. They went to the beach every year and they had this and they had that. Or I look at my neighbors and the life that they have. And we sometimes pick other people and we go, well, if I could slide into that situation, if I could be there, that'd be pretty great. But in our text tonight, in Luke chapter number 7, I want to show you in the Word of God where Jesus really tells somebody, I wish you were somebody else. I wish you were somebody else. You know, I think about all the good things God has in store for this church, and I just am blessed to be here to watch the miracle as it's unfolding of all the great things God is doing here and now. And your church has a rich heritage and it has a rich present. And I believe by the grace of God, if He continues this world, it's got a bright, bright future because you're here tonight and what God's going to do. And the thought that we would set the sail. And I have to tell you, I'm so appreciative of all the kindness your church has given me. There were beautiful foods that we have in the room there and all these things and a beautiful hotel room. And in the blind on the window, I was playing with the little chain and taking it up and taking it down. And I thought, my mom ain't here to stop me. And I thought, Penny ain't even here to say, would you please stop touching that? And some of you just said, oh, Penny isn't here. We wish Penny was preaching tonight. That's who we wish was different. We wish you were her and bringing the word to us. But as I was moving those little chains and the little blind just opened a little bit and a little sunlight came in on the window, I thought I could stand a little more sunlight than that. And so I pulled it again, but I pulled the wrong one and it went back down. I got to get this straight because there's like four of them hanging there. And so I finally got it right and just opened up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Oh, that's good. Nice little bit of sunlight rolling in the room, lighting things up. And I was thinking about this, set the sail. Set the sail because God's going to send the wind. Or are we just pulling it up a little bit? Just a little pinch. That's enough. Or we just say, God, I'm going to pull it all the way up tonight. You drove all the way here, came all the way to church. You're here listening to the Word of God. I believe if we'll just say, Lord, set the sail in my heart. You're going to send the breeze and take it where you want it to go. You're going to do what needs to be done in my heart and life. I just want to be open and set it for you, God. Well, I want you to look with me where Jesus has a little discussion and he deals with something that's kind of interesting. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and we'll drop into the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse number 36. In verse number 36, the Bible says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, Jesus, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. As she's doing that, she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden or invited him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, in the latter half of Luke chapter 7, as we just read, there's two unique characters. There's a man named Simon and an unnamed woman. People ask, well, who is the woman? And the traditional view is that they identified her as being with Mary Magdalene or Mary of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus. However, scholars argue that this is a distinct figure, as Luke's account differs in timing and context from that of John chapter 12. So if whether you want to think of her as Mary or not doesn't really matter, kind of like the singer Roy Orbison with his famous hit, he just left it at, oh, pretty woman, okay? So you don't have to fill in a name, just leave it there. But Luke left it at woman, known for her actions, not for her name. So we have two here that we're looking at and we're comparing, contrasting, Simon and the woman. Now, Simon is so important. Every single preacher alive needs Simons. We need a house full of Simons. Simon is the guy, he makes the dream work because Simon does the teamwork. I'm glad to see you today, Simon. God bless you, brother. You make the church go forward. I'm glad you're here. Bless you for that. You see, Simon lived his life on purpose and for a purpose. Simon had a great resume and a promising future. He was somebody to know, and if you could get in proximity with Simon, you'd be moving on the way up. Simon didn't live by accident. Rather, he lived his life by design. The Bible tells us he was a Pharisee. Now, we look at the name Pharisee today, and we use it in a derogatory way. We use it like somebody being prideful or boastful or arrogant. Say, hey, don't be a Pharisee. But back in this day and time, Pharisee meant somebody who not only had gone through rigorous training, like someone earning a degree or a doctorate or a master's, but somebody who also lived by a life code that was very strict, very strident, and very in line with the Word of God. And so Simon lived his life by design. And I think it's very important that we live our life by design. Many times people make mistakes because they're not designing their life. They're constantly deciding in the moment. I hope by design you chose when the preacher talked about the revival and he introduced it at the beginning of the year. I hope by design you said, I'll be there, God willing, and I'll be a part of that. And then by design, you came today. You didn't wait. And as you were getting ready to leave your house, should we go? Should we not go? Should we go? Should we not go? Should we stay home? Should we go to church? No, by design, you just automatically go to church. And so that decision was made way back when, that whenever they have a service at the church, God willing, I'll be there. And if God lets me get there, I'll be there. And so you just live by design. And Simon is living his life by a holy and intelligent design. And I'll tell the young people, the blessing that you have in your life of being in a Christian environment and going to a Christian school, which is a prized gem that in later years in your life, you'll realize God gave to you this gem of being in a Christian school, that you're learning to live your life by a holy design that will benefit you for years and years to come. And so Simon, he's following things, and his life is not run by chance. And we're wise to do the same thing. Design your life and then build it by the design. Get that design from the Word of God. Be faithful to church by design. Be generous to the Lord's church by design. I was talking to one fella and he said, you know, I wanted to give to the Lord this month, but I ran out of money. And I said, you know, that happened to me too every single time. Until I went to the Word of God and I realized you give God the first parts and then he makes the latter parts last. And so if you don't put God in first place, he doesn't get any place. And so you give by design. There's not a one of you who's a faithful giver. And there's not a one of you who's a tither. And there's not a one of you who's giving beyond your tithe to help carry your church forward who's doing it by accident. No, you're doing it by careful design. You do what the Bible says. You go into your budget and you design it in just like you design in a car payment or just like you design in your other bills. You design in to take care of the house of God. And so everything good that happens in your life will come through specific design. And so I tell people, design your life around the Word of God. Design how you're going to raise your children into beautiful adults from the Word of God. Follow the designs God's given us. You'll have an impactful life. And so Simon had a wise and strict spiritual design for his life. Thank God for every Simon. Nothing good would happen without them. Simon, faithful by design. You got to fall in love with Simon. Every pastor there is would love a house full of Simons. Simon also desired that Jesus would be with him, to be close to Jesus. Now, he invited Jesus to come and sit at meat. Simon is interested in Jesus in a world that's not interested in Jesus. As I was getting ready to come over here and share in this message and preach the Word of God to you tonight, and I was praying and asking the Lord to just give me strength and give me the right words to say and to let the Holy Ghost anoint this meeting in a special way, and that it would just really help us to set our sail for God and go forward a little bit. As I was walking around the corner towards the front desk, I heard a fellow blaspheme the name of Jesus. He just said, Jesus Christ. And he said it in such a way, the girl behind the front desk laughed, and my heart just cringed and it hurt. And I thought, we live in a world that's not interested in Jesus. But here you are. You're like Simon. You're in the house tonight because you're interested in Jesus. I'm glad that he had a holy desire. I'm glad you have a holy desire and to think about the things of Jesus. So Simon is interested in Jesus, and I believe we're in a house full of people tonight interested in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer ought to be, God, give me increase in holy desire for the things of Jesus. When the songs of Jesus are sung, whether they're my favorite ones or not, Lord, let me hear something that just draws me closer to you. When the preaching is preached, God, give me something to draw me closer to you. I need Jesus in my life. And so Simon and you are both interested in Jesus. And right here, it's tremendous. And so if I stopped right here and said, this is the end of the sermon, this is the end of the story, we could all give a high five and give a mighty round of applause for Simon and go, let's all be like Simon. But unfortunately, there's trouble that sets in that follows this. There's more to say about Simon, because Simon felt free to despise others. Not only did he despise others, because he lived the right sort of way, and because he lived his life by design, Simon found it in his heart to despise the Lord himself. And I'll tell you, there's times when we're living the right way and we're following the design and we're doing everything we're supposed to do, and life doesn't go the way we wished it would go. It gets easy to find fault with the Lord. Look what happens to Simon. He didn't like the way Jesus did things. He finds fault with the Lord. This man, if he were a prophet, you know, if Jesus really is everything the Bible says he is, why is it happening in my life the way it's happening right now? Why are things going the way I wouldn't have them to go? Why does my situation look like it looks? And so he finds fault not only with the Lord Jesus, but he's also free to despise the woman. He doesn't accept the woman. He says, this woman is a sinner. Now, many times when we start living right and we start following God's design for our life, we start to notice other people who don't. And so he either knew directly or he knew indirectly by her appearance that this woman is outwardly, clearly a well-accomplished sinner. And so Simon's real problem is that he had things set the wrong sort of way. You see, in Simon's mind, he had climbed up and arrived pretty high so he could look down on other people. Now, the more we live for the Lord and the more right things we do, other people, I can't say this politely, so I'm just going to say it. Other people live so stupidly, it's easy. It's not hard to look down on them. I mean, they do such incredibly dumb things that their errors are just glaring. Like the Bible says, a fool's folly, like a train horn, goes out in front of him. And so you see this, and it's kind of like when Elijah, the man of God, was on Mount Carmel, and he sees all the prophets of Baal running and yelling and all these things, and so he just starts mocking them. Maybe your God got an extra day pass at Disney, and he's still on vacation. Maybe your God got a really good MyPillow, and he's still asleep. Wake him up. You know, maybe your God's in the bathroom and you should knock with the code. And they're going crazy and cutting them. Elijah's mocking them because it's so bizarre what the prophets of Baal are doing. You know, there's humor when you do right and you see foolishness. Well, when you live with great systems and you do more and more of the right things, you're going to notice those who don't. And you're going to see the change in results just spread over the years, distant more and more and more. And, you know, dummies be dumb and some dummies are funny. You know, Simon looked down on others, but here's the truth. It's easy to look down on others in their struggle, but it's not funny when it's you. It's not funny when it's your struggle. It's not funny when it's people you care about. Now, Simon, we see the life of Simon, but then jump across to the other in our reading. We see the woman, and she found out where Jesus was. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. The Bible says God's not very far from every one of us. That gives us great hope for those we love who are far from God, is that the Holy Spirit is still working on them every single day, wherever they are at. And so she finds out where Jesus is, and seek and ye shall find. She found Jesus. Her life and Jesus would not naturally intersect. She was a sinner in the city. Jesus was a man of God, the prophet, the son of God. He was in the homes of the Simons of the world who lived by the systems from the Bible. You know, many grow up around the church. You had a Bible placed in your hand at a young age. This woman had no such advantage. Nobody ever helped her. She had to investigate where might Jesus be. Then she goes to him, and so she runs to Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that when she got there, she found forgiveness. No matter how messed up anybody's life is, when they come to Jesus, they find forgiveness. You know, when the disciples had broken the heart of the Lord, and Jesus said, when I'm on the cross and the shepherd is smitten, the sheep will scatter. The disciples scattered pretty hard, and Peter denied him and cursed, and they went back to the old life of fishing and all this. And so by John chapter 21, when Jesus has laid down his life on the cross and paid it all for our sins, and he's risen again 3 days later, and on John chapter 21, when he's on the shore, and he calls out to the disciples who've gone back to the old life, you would think that Jesus would be standing there. If Jesus was anything like me in John chapter 21, he'd be standing there with a really nice bullwhip. And he would speak the word, and their ships would crack in half. And as they swam to shore, he'd start whipping them. But what does Jesus do? He prepares a fire, puts fish on there, and then he calls out to them, and have you caught any fish? No, nothing. Try the other side, and they catch it, and there's just such a massive haul, it begins to overwhelm everything, and they start coming ashore, and they're like, it's Jesus. He met them with love and compassion where they are. The beautiful thing is, no matter how far afield we get, we can come to Jesus and find forgiveness. He'll always meet us with mercy and grace. And so in faith, she believed in God. And so the woman, she saw her sin as great, she saw herself as low, and she saw Jesus greater. Simon, he saw his sin as little, himself as great, and Jesus down here. Let me tell you the problem. The devil likes to flip the ramps around for us. So 1 minute we're reading the Bible when we have our devotion in the morning, and we see our sin is big, and we see Jesus is great, and he's over it and everything else. And then we come to church, and we're the first person here, and we're nice and early, and we're in our post, and two other people text that they're not coming, and suddenly we flip the ramps around. And we see it the other way. We begin to look at it and find fault with others. She knew her sin was great. She knew she had failed and failed and failed and sinned and sinned and sinned. But there at the end of all that is Jesus reaching out to her and saying, here you are, I'm ready to save you. So Simon is there, and Jesus gives him a lesson. He said, Simon, how do you see things? How do you look at things? We need to be ramped in the direction of seeing our sin as big and our Savior as bigger and ourselves at the bottom. Because out of that, things change. When we're that way, we have love for the brethren. We don't find fault with one another. We don't pick each other apart. Out of that, we have love for the desperate because we know where we were when Jesus found us. I'm only blessed because of God's word. I'm only blessed because his word in my life. I'm blessed because of what Jesus has done for me. Therefore, I share that goodness. So now Jesus is sitting there with Simon. Simon's ramped where he sees himself as impressive. And to be honest, his life is impressive just like many of yours. Simon's sitting there finding fault. And Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon sits up in his chair a little bit. Raises up his shoulders. I'm excited to hear this. I think Jesus sees my 10-year pin of never missing church, one service for 10 years. I think Jesus saw on the front side table that there was my annual giving report from last year. And Jesus is impressed that a man on my income would give that much to the Lord. And he's going to tell me, keep on giving like that, son, and I'll bless you. You know, maybe Jesus has noticed my children playing out on the porch over there while we were eating, and Jesus is going to tell me that I've never been in a home and seen children quite like your children, Simon, and you need to write a book on parenting, Simon. You're just the guy. I can't wait to hear what Jesus has to say. And he's thinking about it. What's Jesus going to tell me? I can't wait to hear it. And Jesus simply says this, Simon, look at this woman. Amen. Why don't you love me like she does? Amen. Why don't you love me like she does? Simon's thinking he's got it all right. He's thinking he's been living the life. He's been doing everything. And yet Simon had little bitty, teeny, tiny love for the Lord. And so the Lord said, hey, if you love me little, you'll always see yourself big. I want to turn it around. I want to see things change. You see, here's the reality for all of us tonight. Everything changes when Simon becomes like the woman in her love for the Lord, and the woman becomes living like Simon in the disciplines for the Lord Jesus. Then the world's never the same. But as long as you're finding fault, as long as you're impressed with where you're at, you'll never, ever be anything for the Lord. Simon, I have something to say to you. There was a fella, not with modern computers and laser technologies and AI. There was a fella who had an idea. And so he took a pen. And on the head of a pen, he completed it in 1927. On the head of a pen, he micro-engraved the entirety of the Lord's Prayer. Not just in between breaths. He literally had to stage his heartbeats to engrave with the beats of his heart, lest he move it and make a mistake. With the Lord's Prayer written on the head of a pen, it's not very noticeable. That's kind of small. Jesus said the same. Loves me a little bit. Oh, come over here. Bring out your magnifying glass. Dial in the microscope and look, and you can see the Lord's Prayer on the head of a pen. There it is. There it is. I found it. So small, but it's hard to find. Jesus said, when you love me little, you'll find fault with anybody and everything. You'll be like that teeny tiny Lord's Prayer on the head of a pen. Jesus said, I want Simon to be like the woman. Can we tonight say, God, I've had the ramp turned back and forth. I go from loving people to not loving people simply because I start to see myself as something. And tonight, by the power of God, I want to set that sail of seeing Jesus as everything. And my life, very, very small. Close your Bibles and let's rise to our feet for just a moment tonight. I'm so glad for your attention to the Word of God. I believe we're about to set some sails tonight. With your heads bowed as you quietly stand, they're going to open the old-fashioned altar in just a moment. I wonder, have we been living like Simon and unfortunately loving like Simon? Lord, heal that tonight. Can you just pray and say, Lord, heal that tonight? We're starting a revival service. And the revival doesn't begin in the church. The revival begins in my heart with the Holy Ghost right now. I want to keep living the right way by the holy systems that God's allowed to be in my life, maybe for decades now, but I want the love in my heart to grow once more. I don't want to think I'm righteous and despise others. I want it to change. Because that's going to bring my family to God. I want it to change because then another generation will want what I have. I want it to change because then there'll be peace in my home. I got to live like Simon, but love like the woman. Why don't you just pray that to God right now? I got to live like Simon, but love like the woman. Lord, I believe. There's a whole bunch of people tonight that are going to start loving like they've never loved before. They're going to love their sisters and brothers in the church house. They're going to love those difficult kids in the school. They're going to love those parents that are mean to them. They're going to love the people they serve God with. Because you're opening a new holy love in our hearts and lives that's going to change the world. Lord, I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. Lord, move many hearts to the altar tonight, that there would be a holy point of contact made, and that the word of God would be cemented in our life. You stay praying as the preacher comes.